You're listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets. Now, here is your host from DenverStiffs.com, Adam Mottis.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, part of Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Adam Mottis, from DenverStiffs.com, the largest Denver Nuggets blog and community on the web. Check us out. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And I'm joined once again by my motley crew. That's right, my motley crew of Denver Nuggets writers. Seated to my left, the man on the switchboard from DenverStiffs.com, it's Brendan Vogt.
You can claim me if you want, but I'm pretty sure they're both independent. Like, he works for The Athletic, so I don't know if you get to call him your motley crew.
I'm in this crew of podcasters.
You do not own me, Adam.
You do own me. Let's be clear.
I claim all you guys, man. I rep all of you guys. Seated across from me from The Athletic, the aforementioned Athletic, it's Nick Kosmider.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. Like, this has been the sweetest bonding gig ever. Like, we're here. We're San Diego. We're having fun. It's awesome.
We're the four best friends that anybody could ever have. Seriously.
This podcast will be unmatched.
Podcast.
And I do another podcast, so then I'm going to have to tell Nate Kreckman, like, oh, sorry. But we'll talk about that later.
You're going to have to say, hey, we know we need to get on the show, Adam Mottis.
Exactly.
Oh! All right, seated to my right. Was that not cool? It felt so cool. It felt so natural. It wasn't. Should I keep doing that one?
Am I, as your arbiter on what's looking. Cool and not, Adam? Not so much.
That was not a winning pop. Yeah, that was not a
honestly, pop. You guys don't know this, but Brendan really is. He's like the pop culture devil that's on the good devil. No, I guess it's an angel. A good devil is an angel. He's the good angel on my shoulder that tells me, like, no, don't do that. One as day, he is for this metaphor.
One day I'll separate myself from you, I swear.
Seated to my right from Mile High Sports, it's Teej McBride.
Hello, Adam.
Man, you have that's nothing all I'm good. Yeah, that isn't
listen,
good.
Listen, I always come in and just yell. I'm just going to give you that for once.
Are we right? We have tried to make the audio somewhat regular, and all hate last episode the hate mail was directed my way. You can direct the hate mail to Brendan Vogt this time because he is in charge of the switchboard.
That's at @bvote422 on Twitter.
And my phone number is.
How did you have everybody's handle memorized? Do you have mine?
Yeah, it's it's @Adam_Mares.
What about Nick?
@NickKosmider.
Holy crap, that's
he's good.
Pretty good.
You know what's really, really sad about this? You're all on notifications for me, so I don't miss anything.
What about,
that's the only reason I
what about psychotic, man? That's
what about
psychotic.
Mark Kislow? What's his?
He blocked me about 3.5 years ago, so I moved on from that
one. Blocked you?
Pretty quick. Oh, yeah, and actually the first time I met him in a media setting, he made sure to come tell me that he knew that he blocked me and that it was me that I was with.
I respect it. That's great.
He's an NBA guy with the pettiness, because they're right. Like NBA is like petty.
I mean, I've muted you a couple of times.
I don't blame you whatsoever for this.
Hey, man, I've never muted you. Just do you, man.
I gotta
seriously.
Be honest, you should probably mute me.
Nah.
So I have a question for you guys to start this off. Is training camp over? Because I always think of training camp being like Monday through Friday, with media day being Monday, and then they have a team meeting. But there is tomorrow, which is Saturday, and then a game on Sunday. Is tomorrow part of training camp, or is tomorrow like a not part of training
tomorrow's
camp?
Tomorrow's a film day, right? Like, it's like the last day of practice where you have like a no pads walkthrough kind of thing in football. I mean, they're having it 2 hours later. Like, it is what it is, right? Friday in San Diego, Saturday, they're not going to finish. They're going to start till 1 p.m. It's just a walkthrough. It's a dress rehearsal.
As somebody who has, like, covered at the NFL, where training no, I'm just.
Was that supposed to be impressive?
Yes.
No.
Two nights ago. He also covers college football.
Oh, wow. This is impressive.
Did you know that he also covered the Rockies at some point and has connections there, too?
It truly wasn't meant to be an impressive thing. What I was trying to get at is that, like, people view NFL training camp as, like, this, like, deity of a thing, right? Like, NFL training camp is, like,
that's
this
true.
It's brand or whatever. Like, people don't even really view basketball training camp as even, like, a thing. It's just one of those situations where they're, like, you're playing basketball or you're getting ready for these preseason games. NBA doesn't have the same kind of clout in terms of preseason as as NFL does. But so I don't really know how to answer your question. It's all of this stuff to me is new.
That's why I asked it, though, because there's no answer to it.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Kind of a fun perspective.
It's the same
thing.
Way that we just don't know how to skin a cat in any other certain way.
Oh,
ways,
God,
right?
We're not getting back there. We're not getting back to skinning cats. I feel like training camp, actually, I guess I'll extend it tomorrow. I think a lot of teams, obviously, games have started, so some teams will play on Saturday. I'm pointing
You're
at a
team. Pointing to the baseball game that is currently on TV.
It's a podcast.
But there are teams that play tomorrow, and it's like training camp goes through Friday, then you play a game on Saturday. Denver plays on Sunday, so they get an extra bonus day of training camp. But it was important. One of the notes coming out of training camp today was they went through their hard scrimmage knowing that they have a day off tomorrow from intense workout, and then they have a game. And it sounds like it's actually too much, right? Because one of the notes was everybody was tired today.
But that's what happens in training camp when it's the third day, is that everybody hasn't been in this intense of a workout environment. So when you get with the team and you scrimmage that hard and you're involved in that way, suddenly you are going to be more tired than you were
used
to.
Wasn't this the fourth day?
Oh, it is the fourth day, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It was the fourth day. Okay.
It's all blending together.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's like almost like Vegas where you're out too long and all of a sudden all the days and time becomes nothing.
Well, training camp is almost over. And then it just becomes regular preseason where there's like games going on and everything in between. And it becomes a little bit more like a warm up for the actual season. Another piece of news that happened tonight, and we were all witness to it, the Colorado Rockies. Rocktober is happening, guys. Like,
Rocktober.
For real. Rocktober. Not like a mini Rocktober, an actual Rocktober.
What is a not Rocktober Rocktober?
I think last year was not a Rocktober. In fact, I don't think it actually went into Rocktober. I think it was Rocktember 29th, and it was like,
Would you say it was a Knocktober?
Oh my God.
No, to your point, I remember it because last year it was on my birthday that they were in the wild card game. But they, again, Adam's right.
Sick drop right there.
They
have a good humble brag about it.
Happy birthday, man. I'm sorry.
Tough crowd here, by the way. Tough crowd, by the way.
Like, you don't know this.
So, that game. But you're right. They had to play the one-game wild card in Arizona. And that was all they got. Obviously, they lost that game. And to be clear, that's all they've clinched to this point is being in it. But they're very close to being able to clinch a division. They should make it happen. Either way, though, it's the first time in franchise history they made back-to-back playoffs, and it's like quasi pertinent to the Nuggets because Michael Malone asked us the other day about he was asking you, Adam, he was asking us about like where they're at, what the deal is, because he's a big fan of Bud Black's, and those guys are similar, man. They're like players, coaches. They're
Where's
good
Bud
with the
Black
media.
From?
I don't actually know.
I
know. I don't actually know.
I feel like New York guys like other New York guys. It's like there's a
Bud Black's not a New York guy.
No, they like
guy.
Assholes, and like I completely affiliate with that.
He's not a New York guy, but Mike did spend some time last year with Bud Black before they made the playoffs. They actually talked and chatted, and he really is a big fan of him. Bud is a guy who is like similar to Mike in terms of like how he deals with the media every day. Like he's just a very congenial guy, but also like he's a guy in somewhat similar to Mike in that he's super competitive. I think Bud probably wears it under the sleeve a little bit more than Mike does because we've seen in games how competitive
Mike runs hot sometimes.
Mike runs hot. Bud will run hot, but you never really truly see it. But I think there's a lot of similarities between those two guys. And Mike was like, we know Mike Malone is a Mets fan. There's nothing to cheer for with the Mets right now.
Jacob DeGrom, I will not have slander on this podcast.
He's probably hoping he wins the NL Cy Young. But otherwise, he's totally cheering for Bud Black and good for the Rockies, man.
How about this one? Michael Malone, sort of a hero of the first week of the Denver Nuggets 2018-19 season, I feel. I mean, Media Day was like a Michael Malone love fest. And then just the vibes are just so positive around this team. I feel like Malone has more command of this team now than I have ever seen. And maybe it's just like we're recognizing it a little bit more now.
I think there's a multitude of factors here. I mean, for one thing, it is the first time that it is his guys. It's his locker room.
That's such a good point.
As well as TC's. And
I
also think
– filling.
I also think – that's why you hired me. I'm pretty sure. I also think there's this another thing where – okay, so he's coaching on a contract year. And to a certain extent, yes, he has his job to lose. But that's so like on the table that in a sense, he almost has less to lose than ever. He doesn't have to worry about us as much as the media. He just has to worry about coaching his basketball team.
Clearly, we're getting like the least amount of Malone time we've ever gotten in camp.
Which I think is actually a sign of him just like, look, at this point in the contract, I don't get my job back by lobbying through the media.
I've covered for like two seasons, but somehow I've never been at camp. Our camp's usually like 35-minute Malones.
It doesn't help because it's usually in Omaha or something random. Yeah. So most of us haven't really been either.
It's actually kind of weird to say, and we could just be misreading this whole thing, but I don't know. I think it's actually the team has taken on his personality a little bit in this, and that like they feel like they have a job to do. They feel like they have something to do, and he feels that way too. And he's just a. It just seems like he's approaching the media portion of it that way. Whereas before, there's a little bit of shooting the breeze and just kind of a casual feel. And I feel like the players and Malone, and even to an extent the front office, are all just a little bit more of like, no, man, this is the year. This
they,
is the year.
They view there's nothing to gain from like the narrative portion of
correct.
Right?
Correct.
Right?
Yes. Like the last couple of years there like, have been, but not anymore.
Like we've set all this up. We like I just think there's so much familiarity with what they are and what they have to do. Now it's simply just a matter of going to do it. So it almost makes like training camp slash preseason kind of like a little bit obnoxious because we're just like, we're just ready to get there. We know what we are. We know what we have to prove. There's not much we can say right now that will really matter. And I that definitely has been the sense for Malone. He's not like been overly eloquent. I mean, he's been great. He always is great, but like, it's not a matter of him feeling like he has to, there's so much that he has to say. It's just like I'm anxious to get there. Like, let's just get it done.
And it's less soliloquies and it's more just workmanlike. Like, they know what they need to do, and there's no more. There's nothing else about it at that point. And like, we've even talked as journalists before we go down to training camp. Like, what is there to even continually dig about and try to find out at this point? There just isn't that much.
I think they've hit the time right where it's put up or shut up. And yes, I think honestly, with a certain subgroup of athletes and coaches, there's actually a lot of comfort in that territory.
Agreed.
All that extra stuff goes away. It's just about doing what they are taught to do, what they're born to do or whatever.
Yeah, I love all this stuff. Real quick before we go to break, would you say that you feel like it's been a positive week for the Nuggets? Not, you know, not for us, but just looking at the Nuggets, do you feel like it's been positive, negative, or somewhere in between?
It's been very positive because everybody knows their role. They know where they fit. They know what they need to do, and they know what they need to do to get to accomplish their goals. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about this team anymore.
I've talked to you guys about this. Maybe we'll continue in the next segment, but I think it's really huge that Monte Morris has gotten a huge role in training camp.
I agree. And
it's definitely going to get a big role in the preseason. Played 25 minutes last year and is now going to be asked at the start of the season to be the backup point guard. So it's paramount that he's a big part of the game.
And what I'm seeing in my limited time in the gym is a lot of smiles, and that sounds like a sort of cliche thing, but I actually think it goes back to about the locker room, the ownership, coaching, sort of all being on the same page. I think these guys are going to have a lot of fun this year, and I actually think that matters.
Are you sure that's not just me smiling at you?
It could be.
You guys' bromance is just beyond me.
It is beyond me.
Well, quick update for everyone listening at home. He did follow me on Twitter.
Oh, yes. And he let you in when you got home late.
Yeah, thank God I did, because otherwise you probably wouldn't have gotten in last night.
I retweeted your article earlier. I don't know if you saw.
I did, because I follow you.
There you go.
The Locked On Nuggets podcast, bringing people together for 3 years now, 3 seasons of bringing people together. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we want to dig into some like existential questions about the NBA because it's Friday and why not? We'll be right back. All right, so here we are back on the Locked On Nuggets podcast. I want to ask you guys, because we got a lot of – there's a diversity of opinions here. We have a West Coaster. We have an East Coaster. We have two tall guys. There are a lot of
– That's a whole different demographic. Yeah, we're going to take cultural appropriation and then height.
No, but I actually want to ask a very broad question here that I really actually really like this question. I'm going to start – we'll go counterclockwise here. I'm going to start to my left with Brendan. Why do you like the NBA?
Oh, man. The main reason is that I don't want to get a real job.
I love that answer so much.
No, mean, look, I'm going to – I'll try to give my short spiel. It'll get a little philosophical. I believe most of life can be broken down into distraction systems, distractions from our mortality, from our sort of lack of knowledge.
You guys are talking about death again?
Again.
Come on. Like, I would thought we had broken away from this earlier.
We had some great – hey, look, they shifted to the right and they hit left. Sorry, we're watching a baseball game. I noticed –
Noted.
Brendan is teaching me about baseball, and it really
baseball opinion you've ever had.
It really is.
Genuinely was like they just beat.
Good
the
job,
shit
Brendan.
That was
good
real.
Job.
It actually is because Brendan's teaching me some things over here.
I'm so proud of you, Vote. You're such a good influence on Adam's life.
All right, what was the question? So
why do you like the NBA?
Why do you like the NBA?
So ultimately, man, I mean, look, there's a lot of things in this life that can be difficult to deal with, that can make you anxious, can make you sad. Basketball does none of those things for me. It just sort of makes me happy, and there's a lot of meat on the bone for something that ultimately is really inconsequential.
I love that.
So that's it's something I can sink my teeth into. But at the end of the day, if I'm right or I'm wrong, if my team wins or loses, it doesn't matter.
And this is what makes basketball writing actually so interesting, is there's so many layers. Like, we can all watch the exact same game and come up with 200 different narratives from it, because it's
don't
like
we
so
do
many.
That? Like, after
no,
the
we
game,
do.
We'll come together waiting for Malone to come talk, and we literally share those different opinions.
And everybody has like a different take, and you can almost see what article people are writing from it.
So yeah. I was an Army brat in the early 90s.
Yeah, you are kind of a
I was
brat.
About, yeah, yeah. I was like 6 or 7 years old, I think, at the time in the early 90s, and I had watched this like. I had seen some clip. I don't know if it was in a like a VHS or if it was just on TV, but it was about how
that's a tape. If for everybody under the age of 30,
it's
a VHS.
It's
like
a
tape.
It's not a CD.
Yeah, it was before CDs. Right. Yeah,
I believe
it's
an old wooden ship.
Really big tapes.
Again, this was a flash in the pan of my life because I'm a total millennial, and so that was only like for a small time.
Steer into the skit, Nick.
But
let's go all the way.
Exactly. So, but it was about Magic Johnson and how, when growing up in Michigan, he would have to clear the driveway of snow, right? And so I was just this, like, you know, Army brat kid who we happened to have this basketball, like, it was like a full court outdoor court in this Army facility that we lived in. And I was just like, oh, I'm that dedicated. I'm going to go like shovel the snow. And I got like halfway to the free throw line. I'm like, nah.
This is actually really hard.
So I'm just, so literally I'm not going to shovel it, but I did stand in the snow at the free throw line and shot like 4 shots and felt like I was as dedicated as you have to be about playing basketball. But
that story is amazing.
That will tell you why I didn't become good at basketball, but it also tells you why I like love the sport, just because I'm like, it's a thing that you could play all year round. And just should have had an indoor gym when I was 7. That would have been a lot better. But no, it's just always been a part of my life. I saw Blue Chips when I was 8, which is one of the worst. It's funny, one of the worst basketball movies ever.
Disagree strongly.
But it had Shaq, it had Penny Hardaway in it.
What's not to like?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm with you, Adam.
And it had Nick Nolte, who I actually really liked too.
Nick Nolte had a moment.
Nick Nolte had a
included Blue Chips.
It was, but I just and like, oh, Nick Nolte's wife in that movie was a dime too. But
a lot too.
But like
podcast
actually,
Nick.
I'm not literally no, but it's funny. It's like, oh, wait, actually no, I completely changed my opinion within the last 17 seconds. That movie was amazing.
Did your wife come to this podcast? Is that trying
to talk you into it? It's a good
she
movie.
Will.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. So, but anyway, like, it's just all those like factors. Like, I was a Shaq and Penny coming of age guy.
Yeah.
And
sure.
And that duo was fun. You always attach yourself to something.
I think that's why so many people look back nostalgically at the formative years. It's like they're just so ingrained in you. Like the little things seem so significant at the time. I remember growing up, for me, there was Nike was making the big push for college hoops, and there was Georgetown shorts, Michigan shorts, and Duke shorts. And, like, which one you picked of those three really told you a lot about who you were, right? Like, if you were a Georgetown guy, you were a little bit more, like, rebellious. If you were a Duke guy, you were, like, slap the floor because coach told you to. So it's kind of funny. They're very formative.
What did the Michigan shorts mean?
They were cool.
That's a great question.
No, you were stylish. You were, like, you know, were much more...
Dark blue and the yellow. They were so stark.
You were just you weren't cool. Necessarily a good basketball player, but you were stylish because you
like
cared about how you looked.
Jordan Gatorade shorts today when we went to the beach.
What?
Yeah, it's just like that.
Just like that. Did not notice. All right, TJ, what about you?
For me, I mean, I grew up around the Kobe Shaq era of Los Angeles Lakers basketball when I was in L.A., and I really just kind of found solace on a basketball court. It always made me just feel content and like nothing else I had to really worry about.
Easily the worst answer of the
three.
Yeah,
I know. It's like way too
the Lakers. The Lakers.
Oh, I
know. No, but it's funny because I was like, because I told you, I was a Shaq Penny guy. But, like, as a young kid, and I'm not, like, necessarily proud of this because now knowing what I know about basketball and all that it takes to win basketball, like, I went with Shaq. So I became, like, a Lakers guy.
Oh, wow.
When I was, like, when I was young, and I think I was, like, probably in, I don't know. How old were you when Shaq and Kobe was going on?
So that I was, like, 5 or 6.
Yeah, so I was probably,
I'm
like,
25.
That's insane to me.
I'm
25. Was, like, an adult already.
You're talking about, like, 2007 or 2005.
No.
2004,
no, they were the earliest
2000s.
2001,
2003, they won championships
throughout that era.
So, and like, I was eight when the 2001 Shaq.
But my whole thing was like when the Magic lost to the Rockets in 4 games. Like, so you're a kid, you don't necessarily know the whole history, but I was They had lost the third game. So Nick Anderson, game one, Magic versus Rockets. The Magic have that game in the bag. Nick Anderson has the biggest choke job. I'm not going to say the
biggest
among the biggest choke jobs in NBA Finals history when he misses 13 free throws in a row, and they're just like, they have this game won, and then the Rockets like take over from there. And when they were down 3-0, I was just like, you know, as a kid, you're an eternal optimist or whatever. And then my dad is like a total buzzkill. He's like, no, no team's ever come back from 3-0. You guys have already lost. I'm like, thanks, Dad.
Don't ruin it for me, man.
But, you know, so like, so when Shaq left the next year, I was just so attached to Shaq. So when he left the next year, yeah, I was on that Lakers pill for a while.
Well, this goes in, though, this segues into the next question, which I think is just a fun one, man. Like, you know, the history, we all come from different eras, but who are some of the coolest basketball players of all time? Like, just the guys that you look at and you're like, man, that dude is just cool.
Shaq was always the guy for me. Shaq and then Lamar Odom.
Two answers I would not have put. Like, I did, especially Lamar Odom. But
like, you're a child at that point. And, like, Derek Fisher was that guy because, like, I remember.
Let me finish
the statement. Because
I just, it's so hard to mic check, you guys. It's just, we go up and down.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
It's going to suck.
My first real substantial basketball memory was Tim Duncan hitting the shot and then Derek Fisher hitting a jumper with 0.3 seconds left to win a game. Like, that was my first, like, real intense
NBA
memory.
Did you say
0.3
seconds?
0.4.
Man, I was going to say, come on, man.
What
like,
happens when it's late and I've been in San Diego for 2 days?
0.3 seconds. Come on. You can't get a shot off in 0.3. We all know that.
No, Baron Davis already proved that's wrong. But, I digress. But so that Derek, was my first substantial. All right,
so everybody, the answers are only going to get better.
Adam, who was your first cool NBA guy?
Man, that's a good question. I mean, I was a big
Kobe
guy.
That's the question you asked.
Yeah, no, but I didn't say the first.
Oh.
Because, like, I think LeBron.
Idiot. Wow.
I think LeBron is, like, I think LeBron just exudes cool, and he gets cooler every year. But Kobe.
I forgot, what was your question?
It's just, who are some of the coolest basketball players of all time? Like, some of the guys.
Yeah,
I feel like
you said, who were the first cool guys?
That's what I heard, too.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Interesting that you heard that, because I did not say it. But I think Baron Davis is an underrated cool guy. Like,
yes,
I think Baron
yes.
Davis was just like
the guy who disproved the 0.3 seconds rule. Sorry, I digress.
No, he exudes cool. It's cliche to say, but like the guys like Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, those two guys, as much as I think Kobe is actually corny when you sit to think about some of the things he says,
corny.
On the court, he beat you in such like ways that like I was this is such a name drop and I apologize already, but talking to Roger Mason the other day, he was talking about like the hardest. He was talking about the hardest guys to guard this or that, and one of the conversations we had
was, he's not a Hall of Famer, that's not really a name drop.
Oh jeez.
It's just
Knicks
covered three sports.
Right, so.
No, a former player will often say like, or we ask a player like, who's the hardest guy to guard? It's not the guy that beat them every time. It's the guy that made them fall down on a crossover, right?
This was the point
and Kobe was that kind of guy. Like Kobe would like straight beat guys one on one. Efficiency down, whatever. But like watching him was like, man, he knows he can beat this dude.
See,
and he's gonna be
cool. Guy for me was Penny. He was the first guy I had a jersey of, and it helped. Like the marketing deal of it was that he had the, you know, the whole Little Penny thing.
Because Penny wasn't cool. Little Penny was there to be cool.
No, he was
Penny.
Cool. He was just a different kind of cool dude. The guy was like totally. He was totally chill. Like he didn't have like a presence necessarily, but,
or a personality.
But how can you have a personality next to Shaq?
Nick,
when you're like,
yeah.
When you're
hold the microphone closer to your face, please.
God, you guys have given me so many directions. I literally have asked you during the break, how do I hold this?
That's
microphone?
Much better.
Is this how it is all
yeah.
the time?
Yeah, yeah.
I never leave.
Now
if
you
I,
see how
if,
hard
if
it
I
is.
Gotta breathe,
it's
hard.
Hard.
It's so funny.
It's a difficult situation, man. I'm trying here.
This podcast sucks.
But
Whoa!
What are we talking about?
The coolest players
Penny.
Ever. Do you have
yeah.
a cool
because
player?
You don't remember Penny Hardaway. Does that mean that you get to call it dumb?
No, I just forgot the question.
Anyway.
But I
want to go back to Knicks. I want to hear
I'm
about
sorry,
Peter.
Nick. I didn't mean to.
No, I was mostly finished. But, like, all I was going to say is he might not have a personality. It's hard against Shaq, man. And it's really – that was such an interesting dichotomy with those two guys because – he came into the league. He was quiet. You're right. He was quiet, but there's just something about his game, man. He was like, he was similar
Penny
to Scottie
was incredible.
Pitten. He was similar to Scottie yes. Pitten, but like
good.
More athletic.
Yep.
Like
great.
Stretchier had a few more skills than Scottie did.
Penny's going to get forgotten, and I hate
he
it.
He is.
And
right?
I hate it because he was.
For his shoes,
he's
for
you,
his
know, you know what I always say? Actually, let me give this anecdote. I always say that Michael Jordan was such a one of a kind
But after Michael Jordan, everybody thought that's the blueprint. Like, where's the next Michael? But it was like Grant Hill and Penny Hardaway were both actually more like LeBron and more like Magic and more like actually what I think the history of basketball. They were the blueprint for the thing, but they got hurt and they were taken away from us. And like I think for 20 years now we've been chasing the ghost of Michael when we should be chasing the ghost of Magic and Penny and Grant and LeBron. And like that's actually a better blueprint because it's more attainable.
I'm just going to use
Good point.
I'm just going to use my slot to apologize for saying that this podcast sucks. I didn't mean it, you guys.
You weren't really listening to Brendan Vogt sucks. And that's
No. I was feeling self-conscious, and I projected it onto all of you.
Why is this in therapy session? What just happened to Brendan?
Hey, this can be whatever it needs to be. That's fine.
Brendan, so you're a little bit younger than all of us.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not a diss.
No.
You're a little bit younger. Who's your basketball cool guy?
You know what's funny, man? I think I got into the league a little late. You know, I grew up in Jersey, and I remember the Nets teams that went to the finals.
Which is ironic, because that's where Shaq grew up.
He has a Newark, and he has like a duplex. Yeah, big investor, I hear. for me, it was Dwayne Wade, man. I really started getting into him in 2000.
Cool. See, that makes sense. That makes total sense because I was at the beginning of college when Dwayne Wade beat the Mavericks in the finals, and it was like, holy cow, this guy was awesome, but I didn't grow up with it. But that makes total sense. Like, if you were that age, Wade would have been the dude.
And it was the first year I really, really got into the NBA instead of sort of just watching it every now and then was 2006. So watching him go on that run, you know, however you feel about the free throws notwithstanding, he was incredible that year, man.
Can I change my answer real quick?
Yeah.
Manu Ginobili.
See, here's what I like about this. Manu Ginobili, Allen Iverson,
yes. I mean, Shaq Michael and Manu, Jordan,
they're
basically
all so
the same
different,
guy.
But they're all also
what's
cool.
Different about those two?
When you talk about cool, man, like the NBA really allows for a wide variety of. That's why I like this question. That's why I like all the answers.
Isn't this the most diverse league? And I don't mean to like take shots at other leagues. That's not what I'm trying to do here. But the international game within basketball is so much more emphatic and involved than it is in other sports.
Yeah, but it's also just like what is cool. And you just said Manu Ginobili. We could say Dirk Nowitzki, Allen Iverson. Like they're just all so different. And that's part of what I really enjoy about it. All right, let's take another quick break here. But when we come back, I want to talk about some of the training camp stuff. And then preview. By the time you're listening to this, you will be previewing the first Denver Nuggets game of the preseason, which is awesome.
Or you could believe just put this in deep in your queue and it's after the game.
You guys are some downers tonight. I'm going to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, so we're back here on the Locked On Nuggets
podcast.
We're
back.
and we're back. Ask a quick question about training camp. Brandon, this is your question. I think it's great, and I'm going to finish with you. I'm going to start with Nick. Nice. What name?
Oh, skipped.
Well, you'll be the next one. When we have another one of these, you'll get to go first. What was the name you heard the most this week at camp?
It was either Trey Lyles or Monte Morris.
You gave the right answer. I shouldn't have given
you took, yeah.
this
you took both the good answers.
This is
yeah.
a logical one of us.
Well,
why are you doing
some answers like there's no right answer. This one actually has.
I've been really,
answers.
I've been really lazy. I think I've tweeted like four times.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
All Trey Lyles and Monte.
And
I'm
like,
with you, man.
Like, yeah, those are the two names, you know, and like. And we had this, and I'll just steer it this way a little bit, but we had this conversation before. I am under the impression, or I'm under the belief that this Isaiah Thomas missing probably, we don't know exactly,
love
right? We don't know what the deal is. He's going to probably miss, I'd say he'll miss all of October. He'll miss all of October.
Really?
Maybe he'll miss some of November. Anyway, there's going to be a fair amount of time that he misses, and Monty Morris will be the backup point guard during that time, whatever that time is. And if you're the backup point guard, you're going to play a lot of minutes. Yeah. And so for me, it's really cool to hear. And we don't know how much of this is, again, a subterfuge of nonsense because we're not in the gym.
Nice.
So we just have to kind of take,
good phrase.
We have to take for granted whatever people tell us. Right. But again, I take it at face value. I think the folks who are telling us don't have any reason to, you know, to deflect. I think Monty Morris is having a really good training camp. He's shooting the ball well. That's what he told me. He said, people don't realize how good I can shoot. I didn't have to do that in college. And also he shot really well in the G League. None of
That's
us just paid attention, right?
That's absolutely.
He shot really well in the G League. So, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what I was the one banging the. I'm not the one. I was one of the ones banging the drum at the G League that like.
Wow.
No, no,
just
no,
Nick.
I liked
no.
him all the way
such
back.
An asshole to Nick. Why are we also mean to Nick?
God, I make
back in Flint, Michigan,
I make one. I make one misstatement. Anyway,
he shot it really well in summer league. I think he has that in him. He just didn't have to do it in college. I think he's got all those skills in him, which makes for the perfect backup point guard.
Yeah. What about you, Teej?
I'm going to go a different direction because that is the right answer. Like, I don't want to, like, it is Trey Lyles and Monte Morris, but I've been told a lot that Gary Harris looks like a man among boys at this point. But it's true because, like, Gary Harris.
This is how you
year,
know the answers are right, though, because we're all hearing this.
Because we're angry that we didn't get to go first and actually get that. But, like, Gary Harris last year was still finding his exact role within this. He wasn't necessarily supplanted as a potentially second best player on this team. This year, Gary Harris has, at least from what I have understood from people I've talked to, he has been just effortless and knows exactly what he needs to do and has worked on what he needs to work on and has showed exactly what you want to see developmentally from him at this point.
I should have said something because I could have marketed a Gary Harris situation to the audience.
You have an article out about
I read
him on The Athletic.
Yeah. on theatlantic.com, I read the...
Yep.
That's it. Sounds right.
Yeah.
No, you know the coolest thing about Gary Harris is because I feel like he's like the most underrated guy. And I think nationally
he's just quiet.
I think he is. But, you know, we know this from running Denver Stiffs, Brendan. He has a lot of fans, man. Like, Gary Harris is not underrated locally. Amongst the diehards. The diehards actually really, really, really connect with Gary Harris.
Agreed, yeah. I mean, look, as you wrote, Nick, he's the longest tenured veteran on this team, not player on this team. It's wild.
Just crazy. He just turned 24.
It's insane.
But Will Barton, 27, is the second.
You know what, though, man? He carries himself that way. He's really composed. I mean, quiet, yes, but composed is really the word I would pick, Gary.
So I'll just a quick nugget from that story was
get out. Don't do
it. No. I'm not like. But what was so cool to me was that like Gary told me that the only time, literally, that Gary Harris has ever had a problem with basketball his whole life was his rookie year in the NBA. And part of that, his trainer will tell you it's because Brian Shaw didn't have any confidence in him, right? And he didn't play him much so that he didn't shoot well, whatever. It's Adam, we were talking about this earlier. It's a chicken and egg scenario, right? But he was just a guy who just continued to work. But the guy that really he leaned on was Alonzo G, who was also at the end of the bench with him. And I talked to Alonzo through the Australian Brisbane Bullets team. And he said, listen, I just told Gary to keep doing his thing. Like, he had the talent. It's like, he didn't need to worry about, like, where he was playing, when he was playing. Just keep doing your thing because you're such a hard worker. And Alonzo said, I worked out with Gary because the veterans on this team weren't working that hard. Gary was the guy that worked the hardest, so I knew he would actually pay off. So he saw it before it actually happened.
Gary's defining trait to me is his hard work.
It is.
100%. Definitely. No doubt about it.
1,000. Yeah.
Like, I don't know how naturally gifted Gary is. I mean, there's a lot. You don't make it the NBA without a little bit of both.
You're not Mr. Indiana basketball at 17 years old.
Exactly. So he definitely had a lot of that. But, I mean, he's defined by his hard work. And honestly, this Nuggets team, I think, is defined in a lot of ways by their heart, by like them just putting in the work. And he was the first one. I feel like he deserves some credit just for setting that tone.
And going back to what you said originally to start the podcast, that is from Michael Malone.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That is the culture yeah. that he yeah, implemented good. Into this team.
Yeah, it is. But Gary worked.
But Gary worked hard anyway, yes.
Way before he ever met Mike Malone.
But okay, so I would just say that to me, it's all of these factors at once, and that creates that sort of level of comfort and excitement that we're seeing now. It's a guy who values these guys, players that do fit that mold, all sort of falling into the same pocket together. And so there's a consistency there in what everyone seems to value in this team for the first time in a long time.
And Tim Connelly drafted to build this culture. Like, Jamal Murray is a freakish worker as well. This is not like, even you go down to the bottom, like, you know, farther down the lineups, you talk about Torrey Craig is a freakishly hard worker. You find these individuals and you create that culture because that was the intention.
Yeah, I absolutely think that's like a trait of the Tim Connelly era too, is I think they value that those kind of things. All right, let's play a fun game here of over-under because it's like one of my favorite games to play. Where I'm going to give you I'm going to set a line and then you have to just tell me over-under. Teej, you get to go first.
Oh, damn it.
16 points per game. Over or under 3.5 Denver Nuggets players this year?
3.5? I'm going to take the over.
You think 4 players will score 16 points or more?
Yes, I do. I think that, I mean, I don't think it's crazy because even Paul Millsap
last
year.
So who are the
year,
4?
Yeah.
Paul Millsap was at 14.9 last year.
And he was hurt for most of that.
And he was hurt most of the year. Gary Harris, Jamal Murray, and Nikola Jokic roll over that. That's 4 right there.
But Barton's going to be in the lineup. You're going to have guys like IT off the bench. Are they not going to cannibalize each other?
But, I mean, that's absolutely valid. But this is such an equal opportunity. offense, they're not going to be – there's not going to be a 24-point per game score that skews this, in my opinion. You might see three guys average 20, one guy average 18, and the bench fill in where they fill in. That's not crazy to me at this point.
What do you think, Brendan?
I'm going to go with the under. I'm going to go three.
You're going to go three?
Really?
Yeah.
All right, who are they?
Jokic, Harris, and Murray.
The big three.
And I think Barton comes in again around 15, 5, and 4 or whatever. But, you know, everyone's got to eat in this offense. I love Barton. I think he's going to be an upgrade in terms of shot selection over Chandler, shot willingness. But, again, I still think the lion's share of the buckets and the touches on offense will go to the big three.
I'll say four because I think it'll be either Millsap or Barton who go over the 16. Because I think that Jokic, all this reads that you're getting is that, like, they want him to say this and he wants to say it himself because they've told him to say it that much. But he's going to be aggressive. I think Jokic is going to average over 20 points a game this year.
Love it.
Heard it here first.
I agree. And, I mean, again, that's not like some gigantic leap. He averaged 18 and a half. So we're talking like shoot three more shots, make one more of those shots, and then you're average.
But it's reflective of a certain attitude we'd like to see in him, right?
Because it is. Because but again, it's reflective of just what he was at the end of last year. Like, he wasn't forcing things at the end of last year. He was just taking a little more aggressive shots at the end of last year. So you got him. Harris will be there, obviously, I think. And then and Jamal will be there, too. But I also think that still leaves room for either Barton, if he just excels in this in the starting lineup, or Paul brings up a lot. I would say it's more likely to be Will, but I think it'll be four.
And I think that's what a really interesting part of this Nikola Jokic conversation is that we talked to him, what was it, two days ago or 3 days ago? I can't quite remember. But he said that, like, if the team needs me to be aggressive, I am going to be aggressive.
And
I think he learned that. That was
a mindset
for him. He had to learn it last year. I think it was a mindset for him at the end of the year.
By the way, Barton only averaged 15.7. So it's not great that he does it because he had a bigger role last year.
So how?
That's my point. That's the thing. Will had the second most minutes on the team last year. So it's not as if he's starting, he's going to get more minutes.
And a lot of those minutes came. Some of those minutes came with the second unit where he was the primary scoring option.
Where he was told to be the guy.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's very possible he could score less.
I'm going to go over. I think Jokic, Murray, Harris are a near lock.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I think Isaiah Thomas, Paul Millsap, Will Barton, like one of those guys will be over. And then throw Trey Lyles, who we hear is the best shape of his life and all this. Maybe he jumps into there, but probably not.
So why Isaiah Thomas?
Because here's the other thing part about it. Isaiah Thomas, there's a real chance that he actually only plays like 40 games this year.
Right. I mean, so you're talking,
And he's like 100% healthy. Like, let's just throw this scenario out there. He's not healthy to start the season, which I think is almost certainty at this point. And then by November, December 1st, he's also not healthy. But Denver's 10 games above 500, and they're in the 2 seed or 3 seed. And it's like, you know what? Take your time. Take till January. Come back when you're actually 100%. Don't rush back. Just be 100%. And then he gets a little extra rehab. He comes back and he's actually back to Boston.
He's fresh,
He's fresh, and he's actually 100% for the first time since Boston.
If he's 80% of what he was in Boston, he's going to average.
And then he ends up averaging, average 16 points in 2/3 of the minutes, and he comes off the bench and everything is just perfect. So I think I don't know who the four will be. I think Jokic, Murray, Harris are almost a lock, but there is a fourth in there. There's too many options.
So if we're talking about
if they miss, it'll be because two guys average 15 and a half, and a third guy average 15. Yeah.
So let me ask you. I think we're all in agreement, right? But if four guys are over 15 or 16 or whatever, are we talking about a top three offense?
No doubt about it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
For sure.
I get more and more.
I think the top,
top
five Nuggets offense is.
A lock,
by no
right?
mean a foregone conclusion,
okay.
But a very realistic possibility that they could be the top five offense in the NBA.
Let's move on to the next one because Michael Porter Jr. games played. What was that? Oh, that was a Shaka, bro.
San Diego.
He made that move, and I was like, yeah, do it.
I was just trying to move on. Michael Porter Jr., I'm going to set the line at 10 and a half games played. I guess whose turn is it? You, Brendan.
Nice. Zero. Under.
You're going to go under because you don't think he play. The truth is, this could have been a zero or plus zero because you don't play like four games.
The impression I get is that if he's not 100%, they're not interested in rushing it. I don't know if that's true or whatever. That's just my gut feeling at the time. So I don't think he's going to be 100%, so I'm taking zero.
I'm taking zero. I don't think Michael Porter Jr. will play this year.
People get so mad at me when I said this, and now everybody's opinion has slowly moved towards this.
But one. Why? But why do you want a guy that has played three college minutes to play on a team?
It's not that people want that. It's like people, when you say something that's against maybe the no narrative, is people like get are like, you're making stuff up. And I'm like, dude, I don't know. I don't know.
We don't know, but there's my, no
the,
there's
the
no
feeling
reason
I get from reading the tea leaves is zero.
Yeah, exactly. Games. There's no reason to believe that he's anywhere close to coming back. And again, this is what I said. There's almost zero reason to believe that he's coming back anytime soon. And so if he's not coming back soon, so non-soon would be like February or
yep.
January or March. And why would you bring him back then? You're going to be in the thick of playoff race with a bunch of experienced players. How can a rookie who's he's played three college games serve you in that role? Like, it just doesn't make sense. He's not going to play this year. Michael Porter Jr. is not going to play this year.
52 minutes total since high school at that point. Like, there's
he's
no
not
going to
play. He's not going to play.
And not only that, Michael Malone is better with a shorter rotation anyway as a coach.
Michael Porter Jr.
Why
is not going to
play. Why are you going to force Michael Porter Jr. a rookie into the rotation later?
We're in agreement on this one. I don't think fans are on this yet. And
no.
You know what? We could be wrong.
I get it.
Feel
I get
100%.
It because it's exciting. I feel 90%.
I do too. I feel very
I get it why fans aren't. It's exciting because he was really good. It's exciting to think you need a small forward. It's exciting to think that his talent could be injected into this.
You also think of three scenarios. The Nuggets are playing so well by the time he's healthy that they're like, well, we're playing so well, we don't need to play him. You know, just hold him
that's
out.
My biggest
and
thing,
then
even
also,
if he is healthy.
Let's
which
say
he
they're
won't
not
be,
playing
yeah.
so well. It's like, man, we can't integrate a guy who's hurt at this point because every game matters. We can't get him in. So there's no actual scenario in which it's like, you know what, Michael Porter Jr. makes sense to insert him in February.
And
correct.
Maybe I'm reaching here, but one thing I think is relatively noteworthy, when it came out that the plan was never to play, that was from Michael Porter Jr.'s camp, so to speak, right? I don't know what that camp consists of, but that wasn't the Denver Nuggets. We haven't heard anything from them since.
Yeah, they've been very tight-lipped. We're all reading the tea leaves. That's why I say I don't know, but we all feel like weirdly confident.
But I mean, because
there's
this
just
is the
no
other
evidence to suggest that he'll play.
That's the thing, dude.
There's an absence
yeah.
of
that's
zero
the thing.
The
there's zero
so
evidence.
Let me ask you a question real very, very quick.
It's got to be really
what
quick.
What role would he take? I mean, we're talking about him filling Malik Beasley / Juanjo Hernan Gomez minutes. Like, what role is there for him?
I think not
film?
Malik, like, or, you know, if Torrey or who. Somebody is going to establish themselves as the backup small forward behind Will Barton. Or Trey, I mean, this could be something else we talk about, but they really do seem adamant that Trey Lyles might get some small forward minutes. There's not going to be a role. Like, guys,
yeah.
he's
just not a role.
He
yeah.
is not going
and
to play.
And I like Nick's earlier point, man. Like, we're a little
just
spoiled.
Up to 95%.
We're spoiled.
He talked himself up another five.
I just think we're spoiled by guys like Simmons and Mitchell. Like, it's super rare for rookies to have a massive impact on your
oh,
team
yeah,
in a
Simmons
positive way.
Simmons played that first year, even though he was injured. Oh, no,
oh,
he didn't.
No, he didn't.
Oh,
I see where
he
you're
he
at.
He sat the year out
and
because
then
he
won
was
rookie
hurt.
Of the year.
Yeah,
you know what? It's amazing how that happens.
I know, right?
You know what's funny, though, is I do think, like, Michael Porter Jr. has always been the, like, no, I'm ready to play. And at Media Day, he was sort of the like, there's a precedent for this where guys sit out and then they play really well. And I was kind of like, all right.
He's
because he's not going to play.
Yeah, he's not, he's
he
not ready
the
to play.
He's starting to play.
He's wearing a backpack
right
on the basketball court. Yeah.
All right, let's take another last final break. And we come back, we're going to preview the game. It's this is my most excited. I'm most excited for this segment. We're going to preview an actual basketball game.
All right, we'll be back. We'll take a quick break.
Are you proud of yourself?
You wish your entire life was a podcast?
Podcast together on a consistent
basis. No.
You know that.
No.
What he said was, I wish our whole life was
time
a podcast. Time
out.
And I was like, I don't know, man.
TJ.
Does anybody listen to that?
TJ does wish his whole life was a podcast. There's zero doubt. Wow, my mic's way too loud. I'm sorry.
Only when you scream
so you can
like that.
Spin it back and experience it.
No, but honestly, the lead into this section is the final section. I'm actually really excited.
And we're back.
And we're
so real right there. Oh, sorry. Are you talking? My bad.
I'm trying to. The Denver Nuggets play the Los Angeles Lakers tomorrow, and it's actually really exciting.
Oh, shit, really?
Yes, no joke. It's actually true. They actually play LeBron James and the Lakers.
That's awesome. Which is, by the
way, two guys are taking a shot. It's wild.
Whoa. Taking a shot?
God damn it. TJ, they play the Lakers, and we're trying to preview it. And I'm really excited for it, but we're going to make some predictions for Nuggets Lakers 1. Not Nuggets Lakers 2, which is 2 days later. Nuggets Lakers 1.
First question. I'll start with you, Kazmider. Who is going to be the leading scorer?
Oh,
of the game.
That we did some. We did a very minimal amount of like pre-work here, but
very minimal.
Very minimal. I will.
Wait, we did
the appropriate amount for a preseason game.
Sure, exactly.
Maybe too much.
That is an awesome question. I'm gonna say Kyle Kuzma.
I love that
that's
answer.
A great,
so
that's a great answer.
That's actually probably.
Is it? I just pulled it out of my ass.
Stop going to
great answer.
Because he'll play a lot of minutes and
yeah,
he's a good
scorer. That's what I think. Like they'll want to give him some LeBron minutes, but then LeBron and a couple other guys will sit early. And he's just a scorer.
He's going to have 26 points and be a minus 14.
Yeah, stop going to Nick first, dude.
Yeah, that's the easy one. I always throw him the softball.
Why are you guys so mean to Nick? I don't get it.
No, what about you?
He's too right.
that's
I'm
fair.
Too white? Right. Yep, that's what I said.
That's what I said.
I mean, I am, yes.
Oh, my God, that was amazing.
Let's get political.
Although I did, we were at Pacific Beach. I got a little bit of a tan, so
that's true.
Better.
We did go to the beach today.
You are not translucent.
That was awesome.
Any longer.
I'm less translucent than I was yesterday.
You know what, though? Like,
that sounds
honestly,
like a Kanye West lyric.
It is.
This is weird, but...
You don't want me to start singing those Kanye less... less. Kanye less.
I absolutely do, first of all. But go ahead, Adam.
No, I was just going to say, seeing the ocean is kind of important. Like,
wait, what?
No, it is. It is important.
Like, when
it
you see
important.
The ocean,
Brendan,
you kind of, it gives
you
perspective
no
on the planet.
Happening.
You're just
did,
like, man, this is
no,
a
no, but
giant...
did you see, do you guys watch Insecure, the show on HBO?
Starring Issa Rae?
No, I haven't.
No, I don't.
With Issa Rae, yeah. And it was like one of those things where she was running a after-school program that like helped disadvantaged kids like get more opportunities or whatever. And one of the situations was like there are 60% or it was even probably greater, 75% of these kids in our program who have not seen the ocean and they lived in Los Angeles.
Yeah, isn't that wild, man?
And
like,
I think that's like
oceans,
a common thing.
And honestly, I'm not gonna say a spiritual experience, but you will see it. It's like it's kind of like your soul is touched.
It is. It's like man, like not to
like
be corny, but it is. It's it was so like
way.
We were all talking about. We pulled up. We somehow got amazing parking spots, and then we were at the beach.
Blessed.
And it was like, hashtag blessed.
Oh, God.
It was.
I hate
it
you
was,
so much.
It was amazing, though, man. The beach, like, the beach
the
we were
beach,
fresh the hell out of you. It's
I like the beach.
I kind of understand why people like the Lakers.
Do you
now.
Like the, no, that's not the question. What was the question?
And that's why the Nuggets might be a top 18 team.
Hey, hey, at least we're.
Don't joke. The question really was who's going to be the leading scorer.
Oh, yeah, leading scorer.
I have no idea how we got there. Who's going to be the leading scorer?
You asked a question.
It's all your fault, I think, but Adam's fault. Let me make sure I specifically name
whose
fault.
I think that was my fault, but it's all right. Go ahead.
I think Jamal Murray will, because Jamal Murray specifically has not played as much as he would want to because he tweaked his ankle earlier in September.
We learned that today, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Yeah. That was a surprise for all of us. But
hashtag breaking news.
Hashtag
exclusive.
Blessed.
Jamal Murray is out of shape.
Exclusive.
Subtweet.
Okay, moving forward.
Sorry.
Jamal Murray, though, because this is the first time he's been able to get back into a real action that's not training camp and play against somebody else that's not his own team. I think that you're going to see Jamal Murray just try and go off because he hasn't had a chance to play as much as he's used to playing.
I respectfully disagree.
I don't blame you.
Idiot.
You don't agree with anything I say when it comes back.
Not on that, but
we don't know
the minutes distribution.
No
the minutes distribution is going to be a big thing. Like, we don't know. Like, we watched a game tonight just for perspective with the Celtics. The Celtics starters end up playing a little bit longer than I thought they would.
No,
like almost
I think, there's only five preseason games. I think actually people play more in the
really?
Preseason than people
okay,
think.
Fair
LeBron's
enough.
Not going to, but players will. Brendan,
the box score.
Your calves are really strong, dude.
Thank you, bro.
You're welcome.
Thank you, bro, man.
Are you still on calf watch season?
Yeah.
He is on calf
Why
watch
is
season.
The thing for you? I'm genuinely curious.
It's a good
curious.
Question. Of all the things I've tried to get to stick, that's the one.
That's the one that
What's
did.
The question?
Leading scorer.
I'm leaning towards Devon Akun Purcell, but it could be. I'm going to go with Gary Harris.
I think that's another great answer, man. Like, Gary, first of all, how many minutes do you think he'll play? Probably just a half.
My thing is that he won't play very much, yeah. right?
You think so?
But he might be so awesome that a half is enough.
Yeah.
The other thing is a lot
He's
of players won't play much, man. Like,
yeah.
The second half will be different than
I think that Jokic will play very little based on the fact that he's not practiced a whole lot this week.
This
I think
the first day
yeah,
first
he
first
might
season, right?
he might yeah, he might play a whole quarter. That might be probably the
but
max.
Hold on, I want to hear Brendan about
no,
the
sorry, yeah.
Gary Harris.
That's all right, dude.
My bad, bud.
No, dude.
Speak over Brendan Voto.
I love hearing you talk, man. Don't even
like
trip.
He's killing me, man.
trying
to be nice.
The one thing with Gary for me is that he perhaps less than any other member of the core of the starting lineup, he does not need the ball in his hands to get his points. He's a complimentary piece. And in such an egalitarian offense, in a sort of ironic way, he may benefit the most from that.
Good word.
He's constantly, thank you.
No, it is a good point. Actually, I really like it.
That was so sweet.
I'm gonna. I don't actually believe. I think Gary Harris is a good pick. I think Kuzma might be the best pick.
I agree with
but
that.
But I'm gonna say Trey Lyles.
Man, were we talking about the preseason
Trey
game?
Trey Lyles.
I think Trey Lyles might be the player that actually gets the most minutes, like 30 minutes. Or something.
Do you think
something.
We'll see him play small forward tomorrow, or do you think that's something that they're actually gonna wait till?
That's a good question. Because Jokic might not play that much, that we might not see it. Because
it's come up so much, like in the preseason. Because like
we'll see it in the preseason, but maybe not tomorrow.
I forgot we were talking about the pre. I thought you were talking about the season.
Wait, what?
No, he knew.
We're previewing the Lakers game.
No, I'm being 100% serious. I forgot.
You got Gary Harris.
Did you have a stroke? What just happened over here?
Anyway, just don't admit that part. I think Trey Lyles.
Okay, I take it back.
I think Trey Lyles is going to play 30 minutes, and you know what?
Yeah, you're right. Trey Lyles will play a lot.
As everybody says, then. You know, as everybody has been talking about, you know, he's going to dominate whatever the third string power forward
sure,
is.
Sure, which is why probably Monty Morris is a dark horse in this conversation.
Yeah, he could
I
be.
Was going to say that.
Yeah, exactly. He's been talking about how he's going to shoot the three better than people imagine. Here, and I'm excited to see it. Like ever since Summer League, man, it was the whole thing of like that was like the biggest narrative in Summer League, because we knew who their starting five was, that there was nothing to be decided there, but it was like, can Monte Morris be the back
point
guard?
Man,
that was the big, and he did every single thing he could possibly do.
He was third in Summer League in points and assists combined for points created.
Exactly.
All Summer League.
Well, we gotta move on with these questions. I got a couple more, and this one's obviously a big enough one. Not that it matters, but who do you think wins tomorrow?
The Lakers.
Why?
The preseason game. It's LeBron's first game.
Brendan, I'm curious to see if everybody agrees.
I think the Nuggets will win tomorrow because it is Friday, and tomorrow they'll be scrimmaging each other, so one of them will win tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, ew.
I'm
of the
kidding.
Lakers.
That was good
game.
Because
you guys were pounding on me, so I was going to come back at you. Sunday.
Yes, sick
Sunday.
Back, bro.
No. Was so intense, man.
What a man. He owned us.
I'm sorry.
You just showed all of your age.
I beat you by 77 minutes. No, I think the Lakers will win on Sunday.
Dude, same.
I don't care.
Yeah, nobody does.
Like, it doesn't matter.
You didn't ask me if I
game.
Care. I'm just telling
like,
you.
Like, my thing is that, like, we're going to talk about which back of the bench is going to be better than the other back of the bench.
No,
Celtics tonight, the starters.
My biggest thing, I really just, I'm so excited to watch on Sunday night Monte Morris. That's what I want to see. But I think the Lakers will win the game. That's
The Athletic, and that's Mile High Sports, both with wet blanket takes. Here at Denver Stiffs, I'm like to give you a very exciting take.
Let's get edgy.
I think the Nuggets are going to dominate the game. I think the Nuggets are going to win by 25.
That's a ridiculous take.
That's a random take.
What could that even be
rooted in? No, it's not. Here's what it means. I think the Nuggets just, like, the Lakers have had to piece together, like, an entire new roster. So you have to assume through 4 days of practice that they probably have, like, all this stuff to work on. I don't think LeBron's going to play very much. And then on top of that, man, I just think this Nuggets team's good. And their second unit is, like, Trey Lyles, those guys are good, and they're going to play a lot of minutes. I think Denver is going to come out, smack the heck out of them, and I think it's going to be one of those things where SportsCenter on Monday is, are the Lakers in trouble?
I hate to agree with you.
Oh, God. If they do that take.
They will do that. You know that.
Let's
how
go
many
live
clicks
to Stephen
will there
A.
be
Smith.
If there's are the Lakers in trouble? Like, so many clicks. Of course they'll do it.
But the thing that, like, I hate to agree
God.
With you because
it's annoying.
It feels wrong.
How
it
embarrassing.
Wrong to agree with you. But Michael Malone said on day one of training camp that he has never, as a head coach, had a team with continuity to run a full 5-on-5 scrimmage with his team on day one of training camp. That means something here, even if it does mean that Adam is right and I feel wrong about that.
That's so great. How many minutes is LeBron going to play?
12.
That's a lot.
Luke Walton says more than one, less than 48.
Yeah, well.
That's a great answer.
But that's why we have to answer. He has 12.
7.
7 minutes, 36 seconds.
Come on. That's the same thing.
Asshole,
that's the same thing, dude.
No,
all right, Nick. 8 minutes.
Yeah, you got to pick 8.
If pressed, then I'm going to say 6 minutes. The three of us seem to agree that he is going to play one stint. You think he'll play
two?
Yeah, I think he'll play one stint. But whatever, he'll get out there. San Diego fans will go crazy, and it'll be
San Diego fans of
what? That feels weird to say out loud, isn't it?
What are they fans of?
How about this one? Jokic has practiced basically once, full practice so far in camp. How many minutes will Nikola Jokic
play?
Yeah,
that's probably a more pertinent question.
10.
Yeah, I think he'll play one stint. I think Jokic will play like 7-8 minutes.
I think he'll play 0. I don't think he plays for us.
That's actually not a bad take. I'm going to say 7 as well. I know we agree on this one.
But you agree with my good take?
I think he plays one stint. I think him and LeBron both come out and the crowd goes wild and we can pretend it's for Jokic.
The next one.
We just stick that in there. That was so sly.
Hey, we can always bring us back to like March 2017, man. That's one of my favorite memories of the last like half decade of even kind of being close to this.
We all remember the date, but why don't you explain to us what it was?
I actually don't. So
I
yeah.
No, I said I don't remember the date. I just know it was that month, March 2017, when they were like they're fighting for the playoff spot that they ultimately fell a game short of. When the Cavs came to town, Jokic backed up LeBron in the post.
That actually was the top 10 moment of the last.
Yeah, come on, like you looked at me like I was an idiot.
It was a day after my birthday. I remember that game so vividly.
Okay,
high five, Adam.
All right, whatever.
Yeah, I'm glad I got looked at like I was a crazy person.
We've all been born.
You're good.
March of 2017. Yeah, that game, man. That's why because. Jokic versus LeBron. That's really the only Jokic versus LeBron moment we have.
Well,
really.
No, the Glorious. Second time they played each other, not just the post.
Well, actually, Jokic had a 40-point game against the Cavs at some point, right? At some point. In
yeah,
this?
That sounds like it was something that didn't happen.
So, right on.
No, he has two. No, he has really? A 41-point game against Brooklyn. So,
yeah, I remember that
MSG
game quite well.
And
Denver. No, I think it was Denver versus Brooklyn. Anyway. Next one, how fun will the game be?
This is a weird
now,
question.
I'll go to Nick on this one because there's no easy answer for this one.
I mean, it ultimately obviously depends on how you define it. I'm excited that this Nuggets team is back. Like, it's going to be fun. Like, I'm going to have fun.
That's the right
like,
answer.
No, seriously, though. I'm gonna have fun. That arena, a casino, is going to be fun. I'm going to go at halftime. I'm going to, like, play blackjack, and then I'll come back. And it'll
yeah,
be,
I was just going to say.
It'll be awesome.
I'm
so
with you. I'm with
we're
going to
have
this,
a good
man.
Time, man. It's going to be fun. No, it's good. Like, basketball is back. And I think, honestly, Jokic is not going to – we talked about the guys that aren't going to play that much. There's a lot of things to decide. We know the starting lineup, but there's a lot of positions to decide. So it's going to be fun. It really is.
We're kicking off the Thomas Welch era.
Yeah, super stoked about that, but I think that how fun this game is.
I'm not actually. I'm actually kind of a sneaky Thomas
Welch
fan.
Oh, dude, Thomas Welch rules.
I've never seen him miss.
Nylon. Yeah, I just think it all.
How fun will the game be?
It depends on how much gambling we do, man. It's at a casino, is that right?
We have such different definitions of fun, Teej.
Yeah, but you're not explaining what the definitions are.
I was watching the Boston Celtics Charlotte Hornets game with my mouth agape and my hands on my face. I was so excited about
but
it.
You,
not true.
I am
not
so,
true with him.
Yes, you know it was. You were making fun of me.
TJ. No, I was making fun of you.
TJ.
But in a good way.
I'm just happy basketball was back.
TJ is an unabashed. Like, we were watching this game. It's a preseason game. TJ has his hands on his head like
Miles
just Bruce
had a hell of a putback. I will not.
Okay, but TJ was baptized in the waters of hyperbole. As a small child, his mother held him by the heel and dipped him into the waters of overreaction.
That is the most perfect description of myself. All
right, what last question, then we got to go. What non-starter?
I think they'll go and be fun.
Which player are you most excited to watch? I know you've said Monte, so you have to say a different one, but I'm going to start with myself. And I'm going to say I don't have a good answer. But LeBron.
Well, why did you pick yourself first then?
It's LeBron James. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
people
no,
are going to be so mad about
this. No, there's
this.
One
it's
answer.
First game
why is that? Why would people be mad about that?
Because
oh, of course.
Denver fans hate LeBron for some reason.
And like
why.
The diehard.
Is that a thing on this podcast? I am stoked to see a LeBron James.
People so don't understand LeBron. Why I would be a fan of anybody other than that. A lot of listeners are like, why you care about other teams? I'm like, yeah, I like the NBA.
Yeah, but
man.
We see them every day. Like, it's not.
That's
like,
true. The Nuggets.
Our biggest interest is the Nuggets, and we like love, but we see them every single day. Like these other teams that we tour. That's our rare glimpse into what they're going to do.
And LeBron's a showman, man. He
LeBron's
doesn't disappoint.
LeBron,
and this is his
man.
Debut in a Lakers uniform.
Yeah,
if he
that's
plays
the thing.
3 minutes, it'll be a cool
I know.
Three
like, that's the thing is to say, like, people will forget it because what it'll be pitched as whenever the season starts, that's his debut, which is totally how it should be or whatever, right? Like, I know that the Lakers' debut game is on one of the national networks, but, like, the reality is that we are going to see him play for the first time in the Lakers uniform.
And I know
mainly why
not,
I flew out.
And I know
yeah,
that
man,
I
how could that not be the thing?
I'm going to exaggerate and embellish that for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can say, I was there when LeBron scored 150 points. Like, did that happen? Yeah. Yeah, no, it happened.
No, it happened. I was
Lakers
there.
Lakers fan. Media. Like, this is legendary for me to see LeBron in the Lakers uniform. That is why we're here.
Yes,
it's LeBron.
I apologize, everybody, but I do appreciate you making it all the way 1 hour in here.
This
you guys
are the only reason I can.
You guys aren't as ashamed of who you are as I am. Of who
I
am.
I gotta say one more time. This podcast didn't suck. I didn't mean it.
It was actually pretty dope.
It was good. That's. No. I was trying to be funny. Sometimes I can't hit all of them.
almost Brandon, exactly if I get out of here in time.
It was really funny when you said this podcast. So.
43 seconds.
Let's high five.
Thank you so much, everybody who checked in. And we will be back again on Monday with a brand new episode covering this team. We'll see you all then.
Thank you for listening to the Locked on Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at denverstiffs.com.